Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Batch. I'm Julia.
And I'm Becca.
We're best friends and lifelong Star Wars fans, and this is a Star Wars narrative analysis podcast.
It's not this time.
But it's not today. I'm so
sorry.
Today,
we're covering the 1978 Star Wars holiday special
I
saw for the first time last night.
Yeah. I would like to remind you that the idea for this episode was yours.
Oh, no. I had a great time coming up with that idea.
Most people wouldn't have, but I'm glad that we're still enjoying
there's
life.
Not a lot of topical Star Wars stuff like holiday wise so this is kind of like the one thing.
Yeah, there's like
it's Christmas, we'll do this.
There's some like Lego Star Wars holiday stuff that's sure. come out, which is arguably better, but as much of an experience.
I would argue that literally anything is better.
Yeah,
it is funny. But
and you're right, because the Star Wars holiday special has been said to be the worst 75 minutes of television. That's like my favorite fun fact. It's just like it is in a way indescribable.
It really is. And I came into this literally with no expectations because I was just like, I don't even know what to expect.
Yeah.
And Christmas in Star Wars? And to be honest with you, I still don't really even know. Not that honestly that question needed an answer.
No, it doesn't.
That's not one for the big thinkers of our time, I think.
And it wasn't one for them in 1978 either.
It wasn't, sure wasn't. I still was kind of, I don't know, floored and surprised.
Yeah,
I had no expectations.
I love that approximately 5 to 7 minutes in, you turned to me on the couch and you said, "This is not what I expected." And I asked you, "What did you expect?" And you're like, "I don't know, but not this." And that's fair, because it is, I think, impossible to understand and predict. I just like, it's the weirdest thing. And I was thinking about this, to be fair. So essentially the structure of this, if you haven't seen it, which why are you listening to this? Go watch it.
Please go watch it. It is free on YouTube.
It's free on YouTube in like 8 different, I don't know,
It would be a great thing to watch with all your family because it's just such a laugh riot.
Yeah, it is. So me and my siblings always watch this on Christmas Day when we have nothing to do but hang out and I guess drink. So if you can drink or
if you can get high, I would recommend doing that
before
you watch this.
We couldn't and didn't. So less fun, but still good times.
I am unfortunately on a medication that has helped me immensely, but I cannot get high anymore, which is fine, except for this one time.
Except for these situations when it would have been great. So, you know, we roughed it sober together. I would like to let everyone
put that
know
on a hat.
I
watched the Star 1978 Star Wars holiday special so stone cold sober.
Hell yeah. And all I got was this hat.
It goes around the entire
yeah that hat. I would like just some basic information is like this effectively is like, and again I was thinking about this earlier, so more context on this in a minute. It is a essentially variety show special mm-hmm. that's loosely takes place in the Star Wars universe, but at the time the only movie that was out was was A New Hope, the original Star Wars, which came out in 1977, right? It was before the release of Empire Strikes Back in 1980. I thought Empire came out in 1979 for some reason, but it was 1980. So the Star Wars that we had at that time, and by we, I was not alive, they had at the time, was slim and small, right? And not expansive at all. So I think it's like kind of hilarious that this is what they came up with for like a holiday special, is like a very concocted sort of little storyline with effectively story like variety
is a really
show.
Strong word
I'm being
to use here
as a descriptor. I say that it is kind of a thing that follows points in time,
sort of a story curly cue.
I mean, line, not an arc. Storyline, you go a direction
true.
And there's a start and there's a stop and that's it.
That's true. And there's a beginning, middle, and end.
But there's no
barely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like it starts, there's a bunch of junk, and then there's an end.
I honestly, when it
there's
started,
some highs and lows, you know.
There's some lows for sure.
There's some mids and some lows.
I think like it's so funny because I was just like what is this? Like what is happening? No warning, no like, there is fully a moment in this movie where, so it's like Chewbacca's family, right? Which like he's married and has a very nuclear Christian family.
They have a very
pray at the end.
Yeah, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant family.
Did you know that Chewbacca was a wasp?
Like, who celebrate like Chewbacca Christmas, you know? Like, Wookiee Christmas.
Wookiee Christmas. But like, yeah, so you get introduced to his son Lumpy, his dad Itchy.
Correct.
And his wife,
yes,
Mala.
Correct.
But that's like the first, like, what, 20 minutes of it is just them making noises at each other.
Mm-hmm. It's not 20 minutes, but it feels
like
it forever.
Feels like an hour.
Yeah, no, it's my favorite thing about this is the idea of making like a domestic sitcom or like type of thing that are like peppered in with different, but instead of being like, we're gonna pick people who speak English, they said we're gonna
put subtitles.
They said we're just gonna have like Wookiees who obviously don't speak English or basic in Star Wars universe, whatever, and we're just gonna have them make Wookiee noises at each other.
They just be
and like sort
noises.
Of pantomime ideas.
Well,
but
like,
it's,
I mean, you know what's going on. It's clear, like,
because it's not complicated.
Clues. No, it's not complicated.
But it's just like it is the weirdest audio experience. Like I can imagine if you're only hearing this, if you're in another room and you're only hearing someone watch this, you're like, what the fuck are they watching?
Like.
It sounds like a compilation of Wookiee noises for like an extended period.
It sounds
period
like
of
someone
time.
In another room is just listening to a compilation of Wookiee noises. It really does.
What's so funny to me is that then they rely on the kind of idea of like a variety show to get people who like speak a language that we all understand in there. So like there's this reoccurring character of like a local trading post guy.
Yeah.
And I will say that all of the guests are people who were like very well known in 1978. So if you're like my parents, you know who this is. But if you're anyone else, you're like, who the fuck is this?
You're like, that's an old guy.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, and it's a lot of comedians, and it's because it's 1978, it's a lot of people who do like physical comedy, which yeah. I don't, is not a very common type of comedy at this point.
No.
And so it's just so strange.
But I love the fact that there is just like a whole sequence that is probably 5 minutes long of Chewbacca's old ass dad. Watching a VR tape that is vaguely sexual.
Yeah.
Before the lady starts singing.
Yeah. And it's Diane Carroll, who I will let you know has won many awards.
And then they made her do this.
And then they made her do this.
And then
feels...
they made her be a weird VR
sex lady.
Porn yeah. lady.
It's really, and she's wearing a beautiful outfit.
They're like,
and
it's
she's
a family
very...
show. And she's just like, I can make all your fantasies come true.
She's
and I'm
like, I'm your fantasy. It's like,
you're
wow,
in the living
wild.
Room doing this.
Yeah, he's like in his VR chair in the living room. They're very open about stuff. Wookiees,
they're
I
like,
guess.
We don't have sexual shame. And don't, no, don't bring that
all.
In here.
Don't put your ideals on us.
They're wasps that are really sexually
they're real
liberated.
Horny, though. They've really figured some stuff out that we haven't yet. Yeah, no. And it's, again, I don't know how we're going to have any sort of structure to our podcast episode, but I guess we can just talk about
it. We're just going to riff it.
So just enjoy, you know, friends and enemies.
It's like a conversation we're having with you, but you can't talk.
But you're a captive audience. I feel like, so there's a series of musical guests as well. Well, okay. There's a random like acrobatic Cirque du Soleil part for no reason. I don't know why. My favorite bit of that is there is a shot across. It looks like a Djerik table, like the game table that's holographic, but it's got little Cirque du Soleil guys on it. And in the back that they've like comped over is this terrifying Chewbacca son Lumpy. And he's just like staring with his terrifying creature eyes. This poor child or person that they got to do this. And it's just like the funniest fucking shots.
There's some really good screenshots that you can take.
I love when you're based on the music and the situations, like assuming that the character's going to have like a big reaction to something, but they can't because they have like Wookiee faces. And so it's just like staring. Like I love when Chewbacca comes back at the end and there's like a sustained shot of his wife. Just like kind of with her mouth slightly ajar.
Looking like almost straight into the camera. Just like, I'm not your husband.
The amount of things, like the how low budget this must have been is crazy. I mean, of course it was. But like Star Wars the movie was like immensely popular.
Yeah.
So it's wild that they're like, I don't know, we'll do this. And they threw it together in like a month. And they're like, this is fine, right?
One of my favorite parts of this entire movie is when the Empire comes in because they're looking for suspected rebel activity or whatever.
In,
so it's
in
like
the suburban neighborhood.
Yeah. So like basically like it's imagine that it's Christmas and that cops come into your home.
Yeah.
And are like, we're looking for a fugitive and any information about that. And they just come into your home and start searching through your home. And to distract them, you're like, I'm going to put on MTV. Do you like Jefferson Starship? And then the police officer, instead of going, what the fuck, no, is like, actually, yeah, yeah. I do. And then sits there while his boss just walks around. Like, I thought that the guy watching that was the boss.
No.
His boss is just there waiting for his employee to finish watching this Jefferson Starship
this whole music video. Thing runs like you are playing The Sims in a way. Yeah, like, I think, like, it just, it really feels like when a Sim is using the computer and another one is just standing there staring at them or, like, having a conversation with them. It's so weird. Like, also the amount of times, like, there's like this whole like sort of video screen mechanic because that's how we like talk to like our actual characters from Star Wars, right? But then they just kind of use it a lot. So like people really just get very distracted by things in this. So we have a lovely Diane Carroll VR sex experience.
Sure, yeah.
We have a just a musical performance by the American rock band Jefferson Starship. Which, like, I mean, the song's great. It kind of fucks. It's a good, I mean, like, they're a rock band. They have good music.
I was like, why is it in Star Wars?
But I love, and I just,
they weren't even dressed up like Star Wars. They were just like, we're just Jefferson Starship.
You got this. We recorded this for something else.
I love the idea that Jefferson Starship is now canon in the Star Wars universe.
That is, like, literally my favorite thing to think about with all of this, and that Diane Carroll is just like, she's just here. I mean, she's like here. She has, I think, technically a character name if you look on Wikipedia, but like, I love that. Yeah, all of this is canon. And then we're not talking about the cooking show segment, the drag queen cooking show segment, who, that's another, I don't know who it is, but that's another like really famous comedian. But like the idea that the Julia Child of this universe is like a four-armed drag queen is kind of amazing. Like, I actually want that, please.
That, it, again, I think there's there are parts of this that are really funny. And I imagine in 1978, people were like fucking laughing so hard they were dying about this.
They certainly had a different sense of comedy.
But I'm just like, now when you transpose it to now, it's like, this is like, it's funny in the sense that it is just like someone's acid trip.
Yeah,
like it is just someone had this as a vision and then they were like, we have to make it.
Yeah, no, and it's like, and again, like, I think the physical comedy aspect of it is so weird to us now because that's so like not a type of comedy we have, except for like if you're watching stuff, I guess, like Jackass, the movie.
Who watches Jackass?
Unfortunately, a lot of people. Certainly not my forte. But I think we have obviously just like really different sensibilities now. So yeah. It's so weird peeking back and being like, it was bad TV for then, I will say, right? It's again, worse. Yeah. 75 minutes of television. Like, I just think it's so funny that like, it's so dated in such specific ways, but yeah. Also it's bad. So it's just like the weirdest mixing. It's a really weird experience for someone in like 2024.
Oh, it certainly is. As someone who experienced it for the first time in 2024, it is for sure. I also really like at some point, Chewie's wife is like, where the fuck is my husband?
Yep.
I'm going to call his co-worker, Luke Skywalker, hero of the Republic or Rebellion.
Yeah, the Rebellion.
And she just like uses the big, yeah, the big,
what are they, wall screen?
They literally call it a wall screen.
They said that's, they're fine,
like,
right?
That's descriptive enough. They're like using it to like FaceTime him, but instead of him being like, oh, Chewie's wife is calling, it's probably just Chewbacca to say hi, happy life day, happy Christmas. No, he doesn't have to pick it up, it just goes on. So you could just call someone and then just like see whatever the fuck they're, you have no privacy.
It's like you have a security camera in your home,
but that someone else has access to. Yeah. And but you know when they're looking at
and
it.
I love it because again, like in the context of like, this is presumably in between New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. So, but Luke is just like in his garage, like fixing something that kind of appears to be a part of an X-Wing. But also, like,
can we talk about how this entire movie, Luke Skywalker, it looks like he's Mark Hamill looks like he's never blinked once in his life. His eyes are like so far open. I'm like, he is someone holding a gun to your face? Like,
it's so funny to me that the costuming in this movie is clearly different than it was in the original movie. Like, I don't know why they didn't just have them. I mean, I think they're wearing the same costumes, but like their hair and makeup is so wild. It looks like you're doing it for theater, which may have been true of like the cameras they were using or something like that. But his eyes legitimately, and the fact that they're like Skyping essentially, so he's staring directly down the barrel of the camera. He has his eyes, his beautiful blue eyes, open like he's seeing horrors. and he has like very dark eyeliner on. Yeah. And so it's just like the starkest contrast. He looks like he's in a horror anime. Like, this is a Junji Ito. It's so wild.
It's like one of my favorite things about this. So and then he's just like, what drug are you on?
He's feeling great. He's in his garage. He's hanging out with his buddy.
He just took too much of an edible before she called.
And he's working on his starship.
He's like, I'm acting normal. This is normal.
She can't tell that I'm high, right? I don't think she can. He's like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And I love it too, because over and over and over again in this, people, like, the Wookiee family knows English. They know basic, right? But nobody speaks Wookiee for some reason. And I'm like, first of all, that seems kind of a little challenging of you guys to assume that everyone speaks basic.
Yeah.
Even when your friend, who apparently you know his family so well, you can't understand them. And then, like, there's this whole thing, too, where they're like, they have this, like, picture of Chewbacca in, like, a shadow box frame. And I love that they look at it like he's gone.
He's like dead.
Like he's gone to war and we don't know when he's going to come back.
When really he's been like gone for the weekend with his little boyfriend.
Yeah, like essentially what happens, and I know that they're doing like rebel stuff or whatever, yeah, but it feels like him and his college buddy took their junked out van on a road trip for the weekend and they're definitely dating. But Chewbacca's also happily married. Yeah. And she's like, I wonder when my husband and his little boyfriend will come home. I love that there's like constantly this weird miscommunication or like people don't understand like Mala and the Wookiee family. And it's like, there's a really easy solution to this. It's like, can they not speak Wookiee or could you not have done different characters? I don't know.
Could you not have just decided that they speak Wookiee now?
Yeah.
They're like, no, it's going to be complicated.
No, we're going to have this whole scene where like Mala is holding up a picture of Chewbacca and gesturing to him over Skype. And Luke's like, who? What? Where
like,
is
Luke
he?
Luke does not come into the rest of it at all until like the end when they're all together. And I'm like, what the fuck?
And my favorite too is the Princess Leia bit where she is like, she looks like she's in her office doing like admin work on an electric typewriter. And she's like, who? What? At least she can understand them because of C-3PO. But yeah, it is certainly the weirdest grouping of, I would just say, loose scenes.
Also, I kind of love how meta it gets because it's at one point Chewbacca's son starts watching a cartoon.
Yeah.
But it's a cartoon of his dad.
Yeah.
And his dad's boyfriend. And it's like explaining what's been happening to them during this time. And it's like, what's happened?
Like, I feel like as time goes on, it gets more and more like weird
unhinged
and meta.
Yeah.
Okay, so my personal thing is I like the animated section.
The animated bit is fun. It is so janky to look at, but it's fun.
It's so 1970s yeah, animated stuff, which I think is really fun, but I like vintage animated. Mm-hmm. I like old sci-fi stuff. So yeah, it's like, it's very 70s, like almost like Mobius, if yeah, you're familiar with the artist, not Mobius the strip. Mobius of the strip, but it's got that sensibility to it. And also, again, like one of my favorite fun facts about this is it's the first appearance of Boba Fett. And every time
that
I watch
so
this,
funny to
it's
me.
So funny. It's the first, I will say, I think on-screen appearance. I think technically the costume debuted in like a parade in Marin County the same year. But like,
okay,
I can find pictures of this for you. I'm pretty sure that's true. But like, this was the first on-screen appearance. And this is the first time that we learned that his name is Boba Fett. And every time I watch this, I'm like, is that true? Or do we just see him and then they made that character design into like a costume?
No, he says his name.
No, he's like, I am Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm the best bounty hunter in the galaxy. Or someone says that about him. And I'm like, first of all, horrible moniker. Get something like a little bit more.
Get a little,
you know,
little jazzy in there. A
little fun with it. But I love that. And I love that he rides a dinosaur for no reason. It's so weird. I love it.
Also,
I genuinely think it's great.
I think it's in the animated part where they're like also FaceTiming the family, but it's just Chewbacca, and then you can see in the background he is strung Han Solo up,
yeah,
upside down, and he's just swaying as the ship. But you're like, why have you done this? What's happening?
I love it too, because like, it comes up in the plot, but like
but
at
like
the very
five
beginning,
minutes later.
But at the very beginning, you're like, what weird kinky shit are you guys up to?
And then like the people that he's facetiming are like, what's going on? And Chewbacca's saying literally nothing.
They're like, he's like, oh, got it. Oh, we're breaking up.
The like top fourth of his face is in the camera in front of Han Solo, just dangling
it's
in the
so
background.
Good. I love that they like come up with a reason for it, but like there, it's so funny that they're like, we gotta call Han and Chewbacca because it's Luke at the beginning, and then they're like, what the fuck are you guys doing? What is that?
Oh my god.
And that's when Luke Skywalker learned about kinks.
Yeah, the animation part was really fun. Okay, one of my other favorite parts.
Yes. Just,
I don't even remember why they cut to this.
Uh-huh.
But at some point, I think the police officers or the imperial officers and the rest of the Wookiee family just gather around the wall screen and they start watching a woman who owns a bar just like get sexually harassed for like 5 minutes and then try to kick everyone out of her bar, but they're just watching.
So
this
I don't remember why they're like, let's watch TV, guys.
But really, it's not TV, because at some point during that in the bar they receive like an imperial like PSA that's like, hey, like curfew, everyone go the fuck home. But that PSA also appears in the Wookiee's home. So I'm like, are you just spying on people?
What's really great is that at the beginning of that
also,
segment,
why is it Dorothy from Golden Girls?
Yeah, it's B. Arthur. But I just like, I just think it's so funny that at the very beginning of that, I don't know why they start watching TV together or whatever, but at the very beginning of that segment, it goes like, now for a special report from Tatooine. And then it's like people running down, like stormtroopers running down the street. But then for some reason, instead of following like a documentary type segment, they're just like, anyway, and here's Dorothy from Golden Girls. She's a bar now and is getting annoyed
and
by
guy,
a man.
This guy thinks that she's in love with him and she just is having to just handle that.
I will say, the slowed down version of the Cantina song that's in
okay,
that second.
Okay, I will
that
say
session,
that's my favorite song that's
kind
in
of
this.
Fucks.
It does
like,
kind of fuck.
Like, and the fact that, I mean, she sings like an okay song to it. It's kind of, it certainly was a low effort song, but I love the slowed down version of the Cantina song.
But look, everyone, it's Christmas. I'm going to sing a song about you all getting the fuck out of my bar.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Well, I guess Life Day is like, I think it's a Wookiee holiday specifically.
Sure.
So on Tatooine,
but
they're
the
like.
But it's the holiday special.
It is.
So.
That's fair. Sort of from a meta narrative.
And it really
standpoint.
The song really does smack of like, hey everyone, it's Christmas.
Maybe they gave
hold
you
your family close and get the fuck out of my bar.
I was gonna say it has the sort of like the sweetness of a like, wow, let's all come around and like join hands. That being said, it's I love that it they effectively gave us a song for when there are people at your house and you want them to leave. You said, it's 9 p.m. and I'm tired. Get the fuck out. But we're all friends, so one last round.
On me.
On me.
No one ever pays for a drink.
No.
The whole time we see B. Arthur in this bar running a bar. I don't think she knows how to run
a
bar.
I also think it's so funny that, like, we know for a fact that, like, people in the Star Wars universe don't like the Empire. They suck, right? Especially people on, like, the Outer Rim, mm-hmm. like, Tatooine. And so I think it's really funny that this bar owner
sort of
is,
the,
like...
the rednecks of the Star Wars
the
universe.
The rednecks, the sort of hicks of the Star Wars universe. But, like, I think it's so funny that, like, B. Arthur's character is like, oh, they're shutting us down. You have to leave. And it's like, aren't you guys all like, fuck the Empire? Like, all of your patrons are like, no, we want to stay and continue paying money.
They're like,
we're
no,
not going to
leave.
We're not going to leave. And she's like, please leave. And I'm like, why do you care, girl? You're getting money for this, presumably, unless you're giving more drinks away for free. She's actually like, please, I need you to close because I keep giving away too many drinks.
She's like, I can't keep this up anymore. Oh my God. I almost forgot about the part where his son starts putting together his Christmas present.
Yes.
And there's like a weird
that
tutorial.
That I played for you on 1.5 speed, by the way.
It was so weird. He's like, brings like up a tutorial video, but it's like this fucking weird ass guy who is just like, I don't know what's happening. Truly.
It's,
they do not explain literally anything.
No, if you watch it at normal speed, you might, I guess, get it is a really, I think that's too generous for this segment, but like, it seems like the video is like the guy who's on screen, who again, another comedian from the time who does physical comedy is like, he seems to be like an android or something.
But there aren't androids.
There are not androids in Star Wars, but I guess they hadn't figured this out yet. There are androids in Star Trek.
And then George Lucas was like, we can't be doing this.
This is ridiculous. But like, he starts glitching is like the thing. I don't know why it's funny or supposed to be. I guess presumably it's actually not funny and it's bad.
It's hilarious because like you said earlier, like these people cannot like emote. They can't react because they're in like so much makeup and like prosthetics and fucking hair that it's like, I think it would read better if like the son was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But
he's like, this isn't Minecraft.
Just seems like this is a normal thing that happens on the regular because he's just like unfazed by any of it. He's just like, yeah, okay, anyway.
He's like, you know when your YouTube video fucks up the android man in it? I was like, that's not what I experienced.
When the guy telling you how to put your toy together has a stroke live on air.
Also, I love that the toy that he was brought seems to be like a radio communication device.
Yeah.
Because he uses it to fuck with the Empire later. Also, Fully, there's like a scene, and I don't know if you remember seeing this, after like, you know, he sends a little message to the cops that are in his house being like, return to base, and they're like, we gotta go.
Yeah.
But one of them stays behind and then hears this and figures out that the kid is fucking with them. Mm-hmm. And he goes upstairs with a gun. And then there's a shot right before a commercial break where he's standing over the child with a gun. And I'm like, what is this? And then he like puts the gun down and then starts approaching him like, are you gonna beat this guy with your fist?
He said, I have a gun, but I'm not gonna use it right
now. Not for children.
I'm actually gonna use physical violence.
I was like, this is fucking crazy, you guys. They're like, you know when you use the threat of physical violence against children to
build
suspense?
They were like, we've had a lot of fun here, but now we're gonna talk about
abuse.
State sanctioned violence against people.
Not to mention, oh my god, I totally forgot about this. The son is so weird, but like, I love at the very beginning, the mom is like, can you take the garbage out? And so he takes it outside to their balcony. I don't know what they do with it. Maybe dump it over the railing.
Just throw it out.
But there's a moment where he puts the garbage away and he's just sticking his head in between the bars and looking straight down. And I'm like, what are you? And then he's like, I'm going to climb up on the railing. What is this?
What are you doing?
What are you going to do, son? And he's like, haha, I have so much fun. I'm like, you're going to die. I certainly, it is the weirdest grouping of scenes that you could ever watch.
Okay, and then when Han and Chewbacca finally get back to his house,
yeah,
everything about how they interact with each other is just giving, like, they are in a huge polycule.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, there was a moment when I was just like, I think Han and Chewbacca are about to kiss right now.
when they get back, right, there's this whole, first of all, the funniest fucking reunion with Chewbacca and his wife where they don't emote.
They just
and
sort
they
of
don't...
like stand mouth to mouth, kind of.
And just sort and of breathe hot on each other.
That's how Wookiees kiss.
Yeah, is they just sort of...
yeah. Like, just huff on each other.
And then they hug.
And then they hug.
And that's it.
And that's it.
I just, and then there's the weirdest grouping of scenes too, where they're just like kind of just gently looking at each other to like sweet music and nothing's happening. And then Chewbacca's like,
yeah,
peace. And then he goes to the door and Han is there.
To like say goodbye.
Yeah. And then they like, they touch so intimately. Like Han is
like
really?
Han isn't even like, you know, side hug, like pat.
Yeah, that's
thanks,
my brother.
Man.
Yeah.
You did good. I'm glad I got you home. He like grabs his waist and like looks up at him and I'm like,
they're in a very domestic
relationship. Are you guys legitimately dating?
And then like, doesn't he touch his face or his shoulder or something?
Something like that.
It's I know that he's super tall, but it's like the funniest fucking thing.
But like, you don't interact with tall people like that exclusively.
Yeah, when I come up to you, I hold your waist and I look lovingly into your eyes when I say,
yeah,
hello.
You actually do that every time.
Yeah.
No.
It just is so good. Like, legitimately, it feels so much like, yeah, my husband, he has a boyfriend, but it's great. And we agreed on
it.
It keeps him
marriage.
Happy. It keeps me happy.
I've got like 7 side pieces,
yeah.
She said.
She's like, I have massive game in the Wookiee community.
Massive game.
He doesn't, so he has to date humans.
Okay, but then they all sit down to eat. I lost it when they all hold hands and pray.
Yeah, okay, well,
I was like, what God are you praying to?
I will say, so the last scene, I guess, is sweet, where they have their weird little snow globes and they have a sort of a processional.
Okay, they eat dinner, right? And then they go to...
No, that's a reverse.
Really?
Yeah, they have their little processional because
okay.
They grab their lights.
Well, then they
the
put
shelf.
Their cult robes on.
Their red snuggies on.
And they
on.
Walk into the Grey Havens.
Yes. And then for some reason, all of their friends are there at this cultural holiday for Wookiees. And then Leia sings a song which feels bad.
No, wait, before that happens, C-3PO is like... C-3PO just goes, wow, what a beautiful gathering. It almost makes me wish that I was human and alive so I could experience this. And then no one says anything about it.
Like, yeah,
they're just
sucks,
like,
man.
Fuck off. Anyway, there's just like such heavy silence after that. And then Leia just starts singing a song for a holiday that is not for her.
I just, like, it's the funniest, like, it's so...
And then she's staring lovingly up at Chewbacca. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so Chewbacca and his wife and Han and Leia are all sort of...
They're, like, double dating.
They're yeah. all in a polycule.
Yeah.
I don't know if Luke is involved, but...
I don't think he is. Well, he's someone's sibling that they, I will remind you, didn't know at this point.
So maybe they were at
maybe
this
they
point.
Were and it was really messy. Yeah, yeah. I love... the series of things where it's like, yeah, wow, this is supposed to be really sweet. It's so nice. And then we have our sort of two droid weirdos who are just like, wow, is this what it's like to be human?
They're like, wow, I wish I was sentient.
And then Chewbacca anyway. Just looks at them and is like, anyway. Like,
anyway.
And then, yeah, a princess of Alderaan, a human woman who comes into your Wookiee holiday is like, wow, thank you everyone for being here. I hope we can have peace this holiday season. And I'm like, I thought you defeated the Empire in the last one, you guys.
Like, no, they're back.
And then she sings a song about peace and stuff. And I'm like, that's nice,
like,
I guess.
Why did you make Carrie Fisher do this?
While lovingly embracing Chewbacca and staring up at him with her hand on
her
his
boyfriend's
tummy.
Boyfriend.
Her boyfriend's boyfriend. Yeah. They're all very loving to yeah. each other and very open. And then there's a series of extremely weird snippets from the first movie, which lasts like 6 minutes or something.
Fully.
It's a lot of things. That movie is not that long. And they're just like,
they're
remember,
like, remember
the
source material.
Remember that movie that was good and this that's not good? And then randomly that fades out to our last scene, which is the Wookiee family at a table. And then they hold hands and bow their heads. And I just am like, why did you make them like Christian? Truly, I don't think Wookiees have gods. So,
I mean, we've seen them in...
I can
obviously Bad
this.
Batch was like, you know, different, but it's like they seem to have like very different religious practices that seem more like tribal oriented.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly feels they certainly
again
have
not
something.
That the Christmas holiday special is like
it's
you know
so,
the authority
so
on
canon. What are you talking about? I would die if any like one piece of this like got brought back. Like if
I think
I,
it should be Jefferson Starship,
and I think it should be Jefferson Starship. Well, I mean, they're canon by name because at the beginning of that segment, they say, and now Jefferson Starship.
Yeah.
So the band. The,
whenever they make a new movie, I want Jefferson Starship to be in it.
Oh,
and they'll
be
like,
it
be no,
so funny
yeah.
If it was the credit song. That'd be amazing. It's just the page isn't loading and I just have like a PNG of Chewbacca on like a weird background color.
Can we talk about the fact that like that like weird softcore porn
yes.
part? With Diane Carroll, her name is Mermia Holographic.
I did see that. That's a gem in the what is her name? Is it Gem in the Holograms? What is her name? It's not Gem. Give me a second.
I don't know what you're talking.
That's
about.
A like a 90s.
Oh,
people who are yeah, it is Gem in the Holograms. People who are older than us really liked this show. It was like a 80s 90s cartoon. Mm. That was a like a girl band. I think they've actually made comics somewhat recently about it. Anyway, but it's very like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Like that. Like girl pop synthy. But yeah, no, I love that character has a name.
Mermia Holographic.
It's never mentioned.
No.
So I don't know where that info
and
came
no
from.
One else except for Chewbacca's weird old melting dad sees it.
Maybe it's his fever dream.
It's certainly somebody's.
I just like the amount of people who worked on this too. Like there's actually a lot of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people wrote it. It was directed by one person.
They said, we're going to have a writer's room on this one.
What? Like what? The writer's room was the back of someone's van in Santa Monica while
with,
they
like,
just
like
so much smoked
acid.
It up. Yeah. Like I just don't like, I just can't. It's so wild. It is a stars aligning in the worst possible way, and it does like bring me a lot of strange joy.
It is very camp. It is very funny, like as like an absurd thing for sure.
It's
a great thing if you're high or drunk.
Certainly.
Go watch it.
Go off. Queen. Yeah, it really defies any sort of expectation.
I'm looking at the, like, there's a section on the wiki page for all the music that's performed.
Yeah.
And it's talking about the Bea Arthur segment, mm-hmm. and the song she sings is Good Night But Not Goodbye. It's set to the Cantina band theme, but apparently the like, Cantina aliens, the musicians.
Yeah, they're called Bith, aren't they?
Yeah, but that band is called Figrin D'On and the Modal Nodes. Figrin D'On and the Modal Nodes.
Is that canon to the greater Star Wars universe?
I don't know. Let me click on this page. It just directs me to music. Okay.
I'm pretty sure this is canon.
That's hilarious.
Yes. He's the band leader and organizer of the all-Bith band Figrin D'On and the Modal Nodes. That's canon.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, add that to the weird Star Wars names that we remember for some reason.
I'm just going to let you... What do you think that the in-universe name for an oboe is?
I don't know. Probably something like jizz.
In what way?
Like weird and a weird word that means something else already.
It could. This could easily be made into a euphemism, I think. It's called a clue horn. K-L-O-O.
Clue horn. Okay.
A clue horn.
All right.
Gotta get on. Gotta.
Nope.
I'm going to stop there before I say what I was going to say. Yeah, no, that's canon and I love that. I think we could, like, 2025 challenge, like, let's get more of this shit in the background of Star Wars shows for me as a treat.
I'm reading the critical response part of the wiki page, mm-hmm. and someone, Jerry Buck, in a review for the AP called the program bubblegum for the brain, and someone for the AV club wrote, I'm not convinced the special wasn't ultimately written and directed by a sentient bag of cocaine.
No, and that's what it feels like.
Yeah. Wow, it has a 25% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
You know what's wild is that there are movies with worse.
I was going to say, that's not that bad to me.
It's actually
for
not.
What this is.
How many, does it say how many reviews?
16 reviews.
That's probably why.
Yeah.
There are movies like Zack Snyder movies that have like a 12%.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even know how to continue talking about this.
I think we yucked it up
for 40 minutes.
That's actually longer than I thought.
We talked about pretty much every part of this in the worst way possible. There was no organization, but this is, as that person said, effectively a sentient bag of cocaine.
It is. Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Every single moment was, I wonder how much coke people were on when
no,
they made
fully.
This.
Yeah, that was my thought
and
the entire time.
I hope they're doing well.
I hope they're all right. I hope they've recovered.
I hope Jefferson Starship is good. I don't know.
Probably not.
Considering what I saw. Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's it, unless you had any final thoughts.
Not that I can think of.
This was a real... It's a real mess, but it's certainly an experience that I think maybe everyone should have at minimally
at least
one time. Yeah.
Yeah. Do be drinking if you can. Do be getting high if you can.
Do be merry if you can.
Do be merry if you can when watching this film. This film.
Is that it, man?
That's it, man.
All right. Well, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for tuning into our holiday special about the holiday special.
Which was just sort of a nice... warm conversation with friends.
Exactly.
I guess.
Okay, so we will be hopefully reviewing Rogue One next. I know we said that last time.
We're really good
but
at this.
But listen, okay, we've been gone for a little while. We've been busy with life and other projects. Speaking of, if you're at all interested in the kooky or the spooky or just the weird stories from history and whatnot, we have launched another podcast called The Lost Campfire Society, and I think it's pretty much available everywhere that this podcast is. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatnot. But yeah, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and also on Instagram and Tumblr at The Batch Pod. And while you're here, if you could leave a review if you like the show and let us know what other shows we should cover.
I'm also just going to say thank you so much for sticking with us through all of this. We really appreciate it. Happy to be back recording Star Wars stuff again. But, you know, life be crazy sometimes. I'm glad that we have time for this right now.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. All right. So if you like story
and you like Star Wars,
then tune in for the next episode of The Good, the Bad, and the Batch.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.